You listen to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and I'm delighted to be sitting in the arena in Belfast, the home of the Belfast Giants. And it's you never know who you trip across anywhere, but I happen to be tripping, sitting across from a man who lived in Ottawa, out the East End, in fact, around the corner from where I live in Blackburn Hamlet, Steve Thornton. Amazing. Thank you so much for taking time to have a chat. And you are the general manager here at the Giants.
I am, yeah. I've gone through a few different roles here with the Giants. Started off as a player in the early 2000s and then went back and played in Europe. I coach the team for a little bit as well. General manager and sports director. Do a lot of the commercial stuff as well. So I've been involved in a lot of different aspects of the Giants. Love it here.
So given that we left Ottawa yesterday, and we left the weather behind. You know what the weather is like in Ottawa in January.
I certainly do. I don't miss that part of it, actually, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't think you would. And we're blessed with a glorious day today here. Yeah. The Giants here, 25 years old, going on 26. When did you get involved with them?
I was year two, so I came at Christmas in year two, and it was a Super League back then. I was... My plan was, I played at Boston University, and I knew that it was going to be difficult back then with my size to play in the NHL. It was a different game. We had a great career there, won a national championships, and played a little bit in the old IHL, which is now the AHL in North America, and then made a transition over to Europe a year after that. I had a UK passport. My parents were from Sheffield, so I knew that if I wanted to play in any world championships, I needed to get 2 years playing in the domestic league here,
Okay. Which
I did, and I ended up staying a little bit longer because I met my wife at that point, and then ended up going back to Europe. So I played in Switzerland, Sweden, Germany, Austria, Italy, and then came back at the end of my career to the UK to coach.
Right.
And now I'm still being involved in hockey is just fantastic at this point in my life. Like it's given so much to me, and I actually love this place. Even 2000, when it was a different animal back then, just coming out of the peace agreement, it felt like home, and it always felt like home. And mm-hmm. We played in some world-class cities after that, and we seem to always compare that city to our time in Belfast, which is mm-hmm. quite unique. It just grabs a hold of you and makes it a difficult place to leave.
Indeed. And to that extent, given that this is a Canadian game that has come over here, it must be very proud for you as well to be.
For sure, engaged. For sure. Like I think, you know, we talk about the Giants might not be the biggest team in the world, but we're one of the most important, given like what we did to the community here mm-hmm. when it needed it. You know, we've been very good to each other. We've integrated into the community, and when the Giants came, it was a Canadian guy actually who was involved in bringing the team here. That used to, his family was. They were some part of the ownership of the Zellers in Canada back
then. Okay, yeah.
So his last name is Zellers as well, and he was passionate about bringing a sports team, a hockey team over here. And at the time, people didn't know really what it was, and there wasn't really a lot of history or culture of it. And you know, so from day one, they made some fantastic decisions on like the colors of the uniform. There's no national anthems, no flags, didn't discriminate against race, religion, social class, gender, and it turned into a location that brought people together, you know.
Right.
So it didn't matter who was sitting next to you in the crowd. It was very early days, you know, the same, you know, 50% Catholic, 50% mm-hmm. Protestant, same thing, females and males, and it was also indoor, which helps, like mm-hmm. in our winters as well. And it just took off, like, and it's had its ups and downs, as most sports do. But it was an important time to have a sports team like this come for the city coming after like that peace agreement. And obviously the people, the community grabbing a hold of it like they did was so great for the Giants. You know, mm-hmm. you think about the fact that there's only one permanent ice rink on the whole island of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Like one permanent rink, yet we're averaging a sellout pretty mm-hmm. much every night now. You know, so we built this team up almost with no foundations. You know, so our goal now is to start looking into how we can improve the infrastructure and build those foundations through another ice pad, maybe one in Dublin, which there seems to be momentum on, and allowing the junior Giants to really develop a pipeline that will come into our senior Giants team.
Well, you know the way it is in Ottawa and other cities in Canada, where you have all the rinks all over the place, and you have to book it at 4 o'clock in the morning if you
want. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What's the scene like here when it comes to kids playing hockey?
Well, that's it. I mean, the junior Giants are really the only place you can do it. They have, you know, every usually 150 to 200 kids in the junior Giants program from ages up from, you know, 5 to 18, 19-ish. But it's a massive commitment, and a commitment that I, as a hardcore hockey fan, lasted a couple of weeks in, really. Like, it was, you had to play one game, you travel to Scotland, you know, it's a 24-hour round trip to play one game. It's usually on Sundays, so, like, you wake up at, like, 4 in the morning to catch the ferry, go across on the ferry, bus 3 or 4 hours in Scotland, and then get back at 3 or 4 in the morning, go to school on Monday. And it's just, the parents do it because of how great the sport is, but like, if it was easier, you know, if there were more arenas, it would be, you know, a lot easier for us to be able to pull players locally into our system. And there has been some great ones. I think the fact that, you know, we're 25 years old now, you know, some players are still here from their early playing days, met somebody, had a family, had kids, and they're coaching now, so the coaching they're getting is quite good. And we've got some youngsters that are knocking at the door, which is great, but it is a serious challenge, especially when you get 16, 17, 18, and there's other things in your life that become important as well. To do that every weekend is a challenge.
And as you said, like, the limited number of arenas and limited number of teams within the league that the Giants partake in, how many teams are in that?
There's 10 teams in the league. You got 3 in Scotland, 1 in Wales, 1 just outside of London, the rest in like the Midlands area, like Sheffield, Nottingham, Coventry. So we generally fly to most of our games. The caliber is improving year on year, competing in that Champions League, which puts us against some of the top teams in Europe, the Swiss, the Swedish, Czech, and we've done quite well in those games. It's a big difference in terms of like the culture of hockey in those countries, and in some places the salaries as well. But like the UK league is having a bit of a resurgence right now, you know, especially with, you know, venues like this having teams and filling seats. Like, it's, you're starting to see more venues and cities across the UK take notice. So, like, I think in the next 5 years, like, there's a real opportunity for growth.
The players that this league level, it would be equivalent, I guess, to the Ottawa 67s.
No, that's junior hockey, so that's okay. Like 16 to 20 year olds. So we would be like where we recruit from would be East Coast League All Stars to AHL players, basically. So that's our caliber. So, you know, the players, the AHL used to have a cap of player wages, a max cap, and that seems to be, like, they're paying more and more now as they are at most levels of hockey. So, like, getting the top guys is difficult unless we include, like, school packages, which we can get. We've had over 50 graduates of players who have also studied for their master's degrees with us. Like, that's one of, like, the carrots that we have for recruiting. But, yeah, we take guys out of U Sports. We take guys out of NCAA, like, a few of them. But generally, it's, like, the top players of the East Coast League or players on the fringe of that AHL level. So we'd be, you know, third division is right. What we call it over here, like slightly below the AHL, but we'd think we're above the East Coast.
So you'd be getting players on their way up and players
on
the
way down. We do what we can to have a healthy mix of that. So just in terms of the right characters
in the
locker room.
Experience.
Yeah. So we take a couple of young guys we feel is good for the room, like rookies each year. That, like, this year we have a player who is captain of Colgate. He was a good player at NCAA level. He's playing very well for us. Last year we had a couple of guys from Western Michigan that were just coming out, and then we have guys that have had an NHL experience that are kind of at the tail end of their career. And it's a soft landing for players coming to Europe because it's English. You know, there's a lot of the same stores. It's a North American style game. When they come, you know, it's generally easy for the players to fit in, you know, because they have a locker room that become like brothers pretty quickly. It's usually more difficult for their partners and families, where like here, you know, we have 14, 15, 16 imports, and a lot of them have wives and partners. Yes. So, like, I think they quite enjoy it when the guys go on the road because they all live in the same buildings and they have some fun and they have a suite at games. And so it just makes life very comfortable. And with the work permits and visas and the language, it allows them to work if they want to work as well. So
the biggest challenge must be the accent.
The accent, yeah. I think it's English still for these guys. yeah, it is. It's funny when guys, we actually have some people on our staff that talk very quick with an accent that, like, you can see the whites of the new guy's eyes when they start doing the induction meetings. I'm not sure where they are.
I know. Yeah. You wonder, is it the same language?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And again, the transition, I know for people that have grown up, particularly in North America, the pace of life is very different on this side of the Atlantic.
It really is, yeah. I mean, it makes you realize, like, we're... I personally love it. Like, people are generally quite happy here. It's not as much keeping up with the Joneses, I would say, that you would see in North America. Belfast in particular, I find, is, you know, internationally, like when we were growing up and you were living over here, like when it was on the news, it was on the news for not so good reasons, mm-hmm. you know. So there's been the everybody that is living here now recognizes that we're in a much better spot, and they've been there, they've seen that, and they never want to go back to it. So there's almost an overcompensation of friendliness, like when you come in, because right. we're encouraged. Like I believe this is a very sneaky world class city. Like I've been to a lot of cities that, you know, it's tough to beat what we have to offer here in Belfast, with three airports within 90 minutes.
Yeah.
A great food scene, a great bar scene, incredible culture, like some of the best scenery and landscapes that you're ever going to see. Fantastic golf courses. And it's almost just getting recognized now. Like, there's 200 plus cruise ships that come in the summer. There's like the Troubles tour that the tourists love. There's the Titanic. There's the Game of Thrones, and of course the golf, which seems to be the anchor of it all.
Right.
So, Steve, I'm very conscious of time, and I want to say very much thank you indeed for taking the time to talk. But you were just mentioning about the universities that came over.
Yes, yeah. We've had 10 years of the French Four, like a bit of a crazy idea early days to do it, and it's turned into one of the biggest and highest profile NCAA tournaments on the schedule. So we now have a lineup of teams looking to come. We've announced the next 3 years, and we've got pencils in for three or four beyond that. In Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, it was Miami who won this year, and Boston U won the women's event in January. So it added another four games to the hockey schedule in Belfast, which we love because it's promoting the sport, and it's putting Northern Ireland and Belfast on the map for some of the right reasons in North America, because it gets picked up over there. And we're looking forward to many more years of that to come.
And from a personal perspective, do you see yourself staying here permanently? Are you going to?
I do. I mean, like I said at the beginning, it's a really hard place to leave. I love it here, but I've also got three girls. I've got two studying in the States right now. I've got my youngest is got this year and then two more of high school, and then she may end up going across as well. So, you know, a lot of like your decisions like that are dictated on right. where your family is, and this is our home. So we'd like to have roots here for as long as we possibly can, but we also want to be around family.
Steve Thornton, thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.